to the Community Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jen, your host through all things Greendale. And today we are going to be talking about a body swap episode. That's right, we're talking about Basic Human Anatomy, which I know is heralded as one of the best episodes of season four. So I'm very excited to talk about it. And to talk about it, I have two new guests on the pod. So we have Brianne here. Hello.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you. And then we also have Josh. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for being here, both of you. You all cannot see this, but they have Greendale related Zoom backgrounds right now. So it's very exciting. So I'm excited to talk about this episode with both of you. I'm excited to hear about your community journeys. First up, I'm going to do what's customary here, and we're going to do a plot recap and then the community quotes of the episode. So Basic Human Anatomy sees us 1 year from Troy and Britta's first date, and they seem to be the only people who have forgotten that this is their anniversary. And so the study group decides to let them have their own little anniversary shindig. Basically, what happens, though, is that Troy and Abed get a copy of Freaky Friday and, quote unquote, body swap. So Abed goes on his 1 year anniversary date with Britta. Abed as Troy, and then Troy as Abed is going on a little crusade with Jeff to try and figure out how to switch back. Elsewhere in the episode, Dean Pelton's really excited about this body swapping concept, so he pretends to swap bodies with Jeff. That is not a thing that actually happens, but he pretends it does. And Shirley and Annie are trying to figure out how to take down Leonard because apparently Leonard is the front runner for valedictorian, because this is Greendale. And the episode ends, sadly, as we will talk about, with Troy and Britta breaking up. We'll get there. But that is what you missed on Community. My Community quotes of the episode are, this is dialogue between Shirley and Annie. Shirley, I'm speaking for both you and me. And Shirley says, then you might want to teach your mouth how to say we, our, and us. And then this other one is from Dean Pelton. He says, I scolded Leonard today, and according to Greendale bylaws, I now owe him 3 wishes. Oh,
that's one of my favorite quotes. We were laughing hysterically every time Shirley says that.
It's just like, it's just one of the, it's the delivery of Yvette.
Yes.
Like, she just does it so well, so well. So
perfectly.
That is what you missed on Community. Since both of you, this is your first time on the pod, I wanted to hear how you all got into Community and kind of your general thoughts on season 4 before we dive into this episode. So Brianne, how about we start with you?
Well, I just happened upon it actually with my husband. So we watched it together and I was only kind of into it. And then I decided that my kids might really watch it. So over quarantine, we watched it all together. And then I just became super into it and started. I joined Twitter so that I could enter some of the other podcast contests and just got super into it. And since I've been watching it, like, I don't know, I've just become obsessed with it. Like every little, like watching the background and yeah, like trying to watch a season from every character's perspective. So yeah, I've just been super into it. And season 4, I at first didn't even notice there was a difference. I could kind of tell, but I wasn't super paying attention. I have a habit of not fully paying attention the first time I watch something. And then when I rewatched with my kids, I could definitely notice it. And by then I kind of knew what was going on. So I kind of had that in my mind, but the more I've watched it, the more I find that there's things that I find I like in most of the episodes, mm-hmm, with the exception of the pilot and the puppet episode. I can't make myself like them, but this is one that actually is in one of my favorite episodes of the series.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited to talk about this one.
Me too. Josh, how did you get into Community?
It took basically about years ago, 2014, maybe 2015, an uncle of mine came to stay with myself and my family. And he was watching For a Few Paintballs More on his laptop screen. And that was sort of my first exposure to it. And it was sort of like, I saw it for like 10 minutes and was sort of, yeah, just captured. I didn't really know what this was. And then fast forward to during the pandemic, and I was sort of looking for a new, like, I sort of was looking for a new half hour sitcom-ish mm-hmm. type show. And it, that memory of watching it for those 10 minutes with my uncle stuck with me. And so I said, oh, just, and it happened to be on Netflix. And I was like, here in the UK. And I was like, oh, let me give it a go. And yeah, it sort of went from that and then sort of fell into it. And then my sister also then started watching it. So then it became a cool thing.
Nice.
So relatively recently finished it. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, I feel like a lot of people had like pandemic watches was like their first watch. I know a bunch of our friends, like they were like, well, it's the middle of a pandemic. We cannot deal with anything super heavy. Like, I don't want to watch a drama. I want something light. I want something fun. And so it had been on people's lists. It's just so funny to me because I can't believe still that I'm talking about this show because I was talking about it 10 plus years ago and no one was watching it. And I will talk about this when we talk about our puppet episode, but like I had friends that would like, you know, while they were changing channels, happen upon Community and from week to week be like, is this the show you watch? Because like there were puppets, this we thought it was the wrong show, like surely this must not be the show that you like, Jen. And I'm like, no, it is. It tracks from week to week. It's a very different show. So but it is a very comforting show for a lot of people too.
That's how I've been kind of indoctrinating my brother. Is I've been showing him like episodes that I know he'll like. So like, yeah. I pulled out the paintball episode. I pull out a lot of the like big flashy ones because that's the kind of stuff that he likes to watch. And I've gotten to watch quite a few episodes.
It's just such a different show from season one to the rest of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't the one that one of the ones I would show people for a first watch, but it is a really good one. But it helps to really know the characters to be able to like enjoy like the body swapping of it.
Yeah.
You have to know them to know how well they're acting it in it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Well, we're going to talk about the characters. So let's talk about how this episode basically is. The whole plot of the episode is Troy and Britta's relationship. I wanted to get your all thoughts because I've asked a lot of people who've been on season four, like, what do you all think of Troy and Britta? So before we talk about their breakup, what were your thoughts on them as a couple? No thought is a wrong thought, but
I wish that they would have done more. If they were going to keep it in the show, I wish they would have done more with it. I wish that you would have seen even just stuff in the background, have them, you know, Britta was very touchy feely in all of her relationships, you know, in the first season. And you just didn't see him like holding, I mean, maybe I just haven't watched it well enough, but you don't see him like holding hands or like really being like having any affection toward each other other than like the couple episodes where you see him like watching TV in bed. Mm-hmm. So you just don't get like a couple vibe from them. I wish they would have seen that more. So the breakup just didn't have like the emotional impact that breakups on shows usually do. I still like it, and I like how everything happens around it, but I like them as a couple. And I just wish I would have seen a little more to make the story make a little more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that I'm pretty much right there with you. Like that's probably a very good way. That's a very apt way to phrase it. Everything happens around Troy and Britta, like, but nothing ever really happens with them or to them. Like you get the sense that like the show is like, hey, remember that they're dating every time they remind us that they're dating. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't really see them dating. Like, I don't know, maybe even, I know that it was very like traditional, like where they sat in the study room, but like, what, like, why not? Like maybe Troy sits next to Britta now or something. Like, here's a visual reminder. Or like you said, like, we don't see them going on dates. The only time we really see them like together is the convention, but that's not even really them being together. And then
They're apart almost all the episode.
And the focus is on Troy and Abed.
Yes.
I love Troy and Abed, but maybe not the focus of a Troy Britta episode.
Yes. You see him in the fountain when they're first dating, and that's about it. Like, I don't know. They just need more in the background. Little things. Even, just have them walking together, holding hands, little things like that.
Even with the Halloween episode, which I love. I love the Halloween episode. It is just like characters keep saying that they're dating. So it's kind of weird because I really got the vibe like, at the end of season three, you're kind of like, oh, they would be cute together. Like, oh, they kind of have a thing for each other. But by the time it's a explored in season four, it's not really like explored like the way couples are on a show. You know, it's like, here's these two people.
It is, you know? Weird, isn't it? Because they on that that first date is what, season three, right? When Annie gets them, and then it fast forward to season four and it instantly in a relationship. And it, like, I don't know. I mean, I know that, like, it doesn't go that well that quickly. It doesn't go from first date to relationship like that quickly. I would have liked, I don't know, a bit more time in between bit, because it feels like maybe the destination was where that was headed, but like the journey to the destination was a bit rushed, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, I feel like they would have been a really fun couple to see more of. Cause like, Brian, I'm pretty much with you. And like, I like them. I liked the idea of them. I just don't feel like I saw them together. Like, I don't feel like we got anything from them. And I think it was kind of weird because Community was the show where it was like, we don't focus on relationships, but at the same time, like, if you're going to focus on a relationship, like, do it all the way. They kind of did it halfway and they were like, yeah, but like, and you're right, Josh, like, technically they had their first date in season three. We literally really saw nothing of them between then. We didn't see them on another date. We really just were like, this is weird. Oh yeah. Cause it's like in Intro to Knots, like, Troy and Britta mention again that they're dating and you're like, I don't even, do you have to keep reminding yourselves that they're dating? Is that why there's so much dialogue in the show? Because we don't really see them. And I loved that fountain scene in History 101 is maybe one of the funniest things because they're hilarious together. And Donald and Gillian are really funny. But I just kind of am like, well, this doesn't feel like a real couple actually happened. Well, but
and normally it went from like they were together, there's no reason. Like when they go, it's like, I mean, you get at the end when they talk it all out, like their reason for breaking up, but you didn't see any of that. Like there was never, even on like a side, they could have had a B plot where, you know, they're having a problem in their relationship or just show something.
Yeah. You know? Don't get the sense that there's any, that's the weirdest thing. It's like, okay, so they're dating. Okay, cool. Okay. So they're breaking up because they have problems. What problems? I've never seen them dating. I don't know what problems they're having, guys.
Like, I mean, yeah. Like it says at the start, it's like, oh, it's their 1 year anniversary. It's like, Oh, really? And it's like, I haven't seen much of that year.
I know. Like, where did that year go? Like, where did you guys actually go? Like, did you go on dates? Like, it's just so interesting because it's like, I know that that's not technically the focus of the show, which is totally fine if you're not going to make it the focus. But then to make an episode about it being the focus feels weird, even though I love this episode. Just the whole point of like, they're breaking up because things are going too well or too easily. And you're like, okay, sure, I guess, but well, I don't know.
And it's a Troy and Britta breakup episode that doesn't have Troy and Britta in most of it. True. Really. I mean, they aren't even breaking up. I mean, at the end they do, but they aren't even breaking up with each other, really. Like, the whole episode is really a Troy and Abed episode again.
Yeah. Which I think like, is the even thing we keep coming back to.
They don't get an episode where they actually spend it. I mean, what, they spend a minute and a half together at the end?
I totally forgot. I'm like, yeah, that's tracks every, I mean, it really does track out, honestly, for mostly everything that we've talked about with the Troy and Britta relationship is that it's mostly a Troy and Abed like storyline. Like even their Halloween costume, like their Halloween costumes are their costumes, Calvin and Hobbes. And then it's like, okay, yeah, that's all right, guys. It's just everything comes back to Troy and Abed, which again is totally fine. Everyone loves Troy and Abed. But it does feel weird that a breakup episode with Troy and Britta tends to just be an Abed Britta or Troy and Abed.
At least it's consistent.
That's true. At least it was consistent.
Every episode through. So,
well, there we go. But I mean, speaking of Troy and Abed, I want to talk about Donald Glover and Danny Pudi in this episode, because I honestly think that they knock this episode out of the park. The writing is great, written by Academy Award winner Jim Rash. But their acting, I think, is really awesome. So I wanted to get your all's thoughts on like their nuances, like how they interpret the choices that they make as the characters. Because again, they're supposed to be swapped in each other's bodies. I honestly think like both of them do a great job, but Donald playing Danny is just A+. So I'll get your all thoughts on that though.
I think that, so I love Donald. I agree. I think Donald is, I think they both do an awesome job, but Donald's is just out of the park. And I like how his eyes are very, what we call that in our house, we call that Gambino face, because he does it also in like his This Is America video, where he like opens his eyes really wide. And he's kind of doing that, like he has his eyes open wide and just a little like mannerisms. He really has it down. And I like that he even starts it off like before he even talks to Abed. Mm-hmm. Like he's laying in bed and he's decided, like, how am I going to get out of this relationship? And he doesn't really know what to do. And he's like, I'm going to have Abed take care of it for mm-hmm. me, or like Abed can handle this. And so you can just see him already acting in the bed as Abed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be interesting. Troy as Abed. Yes.
And then there's like, when you like look back at like when they walk into the study room the first time, and it's Donald Glover playing Troy, playing Abed, playing Troy, the layers that he has to do. And you can totally see it. He like, and both of them, like when Abed comes in and is pretending to be Troy, pretending to be, I don't know. It's like, there's just so many layers to it, and you can see that like how they've done them all. I just, yeah. It's spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, I've just watching it again, and then watching, there's a particular scene when Jeff sort of just chucks the DVD and you see Don Glover's eyes follow it as if like Abed sort of like forensically following it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it's just eye acting, but it's so small and nuanced and so good at the same time. And yeah, that stood out to me, and the dialogue as well, how they, you know, Abed's dialogue's very sort of short burst, like staccato, and it's very sort of, and the tone of it is really well captured by Donald Glover, and mm-hmm. compared to the opposite being like Danny Pudi's carrying such big energy, because that's what Troy's is, it's so breathless. And there's such a difference there, and that the fact that, you know, they were able to cross seed into each other's streams and pick that up is, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah it feels like they really, and I mean, I know that they very much understand each other's characters, because it's not like a parody, and it's not like they're doing things that are completely out of character. Like, they're really intent on trying to mimic the way that the other person does something, and that's why I love, yeah, Donald's like just the subtle things that he chooses to do, just the way that he phrases words and sentences, from everything, his body language, everything, his eye movements, like you were saying, it's just like he is inhabiting Abed. Like that is what he's doing, and he's just doing it so well. And yeah, like, it's so interesting because Danny's is so different. Like Danny's, like you're saying, Josh, he has to like take up more space. Like it's just a thing that you see him do. Cause Abed is very, and you watch like Donald, it's like very in, like even his hands, like they're very close to him, kind of the way that Abed does things. And so there's this like relaxed but bigger presence when you're, especially when he was sitting at like the restaurant with Britta in most of those scenes, and just the way that Danny chooses to interpret the way that Troy, his mannerisms too, and the way that he speaks and the way that he thinks, you can really see that come through. And it's like, it's just such an impressive feat. And I do not think it would have worked with any other characters. I think it works because these two work so much together and know each other and each other's character so well, that they could do it without it feeling like it was mocking the other character. Like it was really, truly like, okay, we have to believe that they're inhabiting each other's bodies. And it was just good.
I love the part with Danny in the restaurant, because when the waiter comes over and he's talking about Die Hard, and you can see, it's almost like, I feel like I can see like Abed, like he's like trying to relax, but you can almost see like mm-hmm. in the back, like you can see like just slight little eye twitches that Danny does. So he's like kind of showing like Abed's trying to be cool with the Die Hard diss. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, that part just kills me, because I think Danny just did that so perfectly. Like, yeah. Showing, being able to show both Abed and Troy kind of at the same time.
Yeah. 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 This, it's so interesting. I think that this is the thing that works the best for me, obviously, in this episode, is like you're saying, Brian, like the whole construct, everything around it, this like body swap concept works perfectly. And it could only be executed with Troy and Abed, right? Cause like, who else obviously in the study group would be on board with this? Clearly not Jeff.
Well, the Dean does Peltman. Do an amazing, his Jim Rash is Jim acting Rash. As Jeff, like
Academy Award winner. Jim Rash, everyone. I feel the need to say that every time he comes onto screen or up in conversation. He's just, and I mean, we won't really get a chance to talk about this, but like Alison Brie doing the most in like, what is happening to me?
Like the reactions. And Jim Rash doing the push-ups, the one-footed push. He's like, so they have him so like dressed up so much, but he's like so muscular and like able to do all that stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I get it from Annie. Yeah. It's like, all right, I get it, Annie. I like this version of the Dean.
I get it. But like, it does really hinge on like this concept. It is interesting. Like, cause this is one of those common things where you feel like Community, you should like, you're like, how has Community never done like a body swap episode? And I feel like the construct works really well. And I think that it is in like the only way that it would work would be Troy and Abed. And in some way, I think that the only way it would work was, and the only way that I think stories work in general in Community well when they're homages is like, there has to be some sort of emotional crux and something that this is grounded in. And I think out of all of this story, and we can unpack this in a little bit once we talk about some of the rest of the scenes and stuff, is I think it works for me because I'm invested in Troy and Abed. And like we were saying, that's probably not what I was supposed to be invested in, but like I buy the emotion of this episode, not because I'm invested in the Troy and Britta breakup, but because I'm invested in Troy and Abed as characters. And also it's kind of nice to see something initiated by someone who wasn't Abed, like an homage or like something related to pop culture. I kind of liked that. I mean,
it's a really good friendship episode with them. Like you get to see like how, I mean, how well Abed really knows Troy. Cause that was kind of lacking in the last season with some of the stuff with Troy and Abed that like, you know, you knew they were fighting, but a lot of it was focused on Troy. And this is Abed really showing that he also cares about Troy. Like he listens when Troy is talking about Abed and he understands how Troy is feeling and he understands what to do. Like he's really, you get a lot of emotions of Troy or of Abed through how he's talking about Troy and imitating Troy. And I really like that, that part of it. And that Troy knows that he can get Abed into this and that Abed will be there for him. I mean, it's a great relationship episode for Troy and Abed, unfortunately focused around two other people's breakup, but
yeah. Yeah, I do like that we start to get that revelation as they start to talk about like Abed does, you know things about Troy and Britta's relationship, but it's because he knows Troy and Troy, you know, like one of the things I love in the show is that Troy is developed throughout the series as like a leader and like someone who has the heart of a hero. Like I think, you know, I saw this floating around like, who from the study group, or maybe someone asked me directly on Twitter, like who from the study group would you actually be friends with in real life? And I'm like, honestly, probably none of them except for Troy. Like, cause Troy is just a goofy, but good hearted dude. Like he's just a little silly, but he genuinely always comes from a good place. Like he's not the kind of person who would outwardly like try and manipulate you or like try and use you to get what he wants, like Jeff. But you know, in this one, it was so interesting to see like a very different way that Troy tries to process things like in his emotions. So it was interesting to me from that standpoint of like, okay, Troy is so scared that he retreats to doing something like making Abed go on this date because he knows if he uses a classic movie trope that Abed will do it for him. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that that was interesting that we got Troy really hiding, kind of hiding like from his feelings and from like confronting what will happen because of those feelings, you know? I
don't know. Yeah. And I love the speech that Jeff gives to him. Like it's just perfect.
And just to add, I mean, his growth, my sister and I put on the contemporary impressionist episode recently from season 3, the celebrity lookalikes one. Mm. And the way that ends, where Abed's like, oh, I can't do what everything I want to do, and Troy's like, no. And then you fast, it's interesting putting that one and then looking at this one, as there's a line already where it shows, like, you know, Troy getting Abed to do things maybe he doesn't want to do, but then Abed being willing to do that compromise there from that episode to this one, it already feels like there's an evolution already going on in their relationship.
I love that we get a chance to see more of their inner workings, and that we get to, as the episode goes on, that this episode obviously does not let its characters off the hook in terms of their emotional growth. You know, it's like, you have to confront the things that are hard, even if you have the best of intentions. Because again, Troy didn't have bad intentions with being like, I'm going to body swap with Abed and he can go on the date and maybe he'll be able to break up with her. He didn't do it because he's being malicious. He was just like, he did it because he doesn't want to hurt Britta, because he likes Britta as a person, which I do believe I've seen that part of their relationship in this show. Like, I've seen their platonic, he values Britta. She's not the worst. She's the best. Like, I've seen that. So I believe that, like, the reason that he did it was because he doesn't want to hurt her. And it is so interesting because that is usually the difference. And I mean, I guess that Abed does this too, to where, like, he uses TV to filter real life through. And, you know, he often can hide in the dreamatorium from the things that are scary. And I think that Troy naturally knew that this is the person who's going to help him do this. And ultimately that you can't do that though, in order to grow up. But I want to talk about this a little bit more, because again, Academy Award winner Jim Rash, this is his first and only writing credit for Community. So I wanted to get your thoughts before we go into this really beautiful speech that Jeff gives Troy, and get your thoughts on, like, the writing, and also, like, I don't know, how much do you all love Jim Rash? Because I love him so much.
He is one of my favorite parts. I mean, just all the way through this series, I'm so glad that they, you know, made him a regular, and because just, he just brings, like, life and excitement in, and he's willing to join in anything that they're doing. He's just a very open person. And I just, like I said, this is one of the episodes in season four that I really do like. And I think it comes down to Jim Rash and him knowing the characters and knowing, you know, how to make a story around it. Although there's parts that don't make sense, but the writing is just, I don't know, everything in this makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it flows, which sometimes is something I feel like we don't get some in season four. And this one actually, it seems like it fits with all the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to add, I mean, one of my favorite bits is in the Lost and Found section, where it goes from, oh, this is funny, to then it goes into a very serious moment, and the writing's so seamless that it doesn't feel like a dramatic shift, like it just sort of naturally flows. And I think that's all credit to Jim and how he writes that bit, because it's sort of, it feels seamless. It doesn't feel like a jarring thing, like, oh, we've switched tones dramatically. It feels kind of seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that Community season four is weird at is it's weird tonally. I mean, you know, it goes kind of all over the place in certain points, and that's true of different seasons as well. It's a little bit more noticeable for more people in season four, but I think for this particular episode, what I really do appreciate is that every character is written in a way that you're like, this is exactly who these people are. Like, it feels, even those emotional moments have to be earned on Community. And sometimes the times where they don't work is when they're not really earned. And you're like, I don't know, I didn't really feel like you guys learned anything. You know, there are episodes where I'm like, I don't feel like this is the meaning that I'm supposed to be getting out of this. And that happens a lot in season six. We'll get there. Don't worry. But this one, I do, like you're saying, Josh, I feel like in that scene, especially because it was between Jeff and Troy, I feel like it was earned. I feel like that's the moment where you go, okay, this is an emotional moment, but it's not coming out of left field. It's like very in line with who these characters are and also their journeys up until this point. And this moment feels like a very natural thing that would be happening, because we do see, I think it was important that it was Jeff to talk to Troy, because Jeff is the quote unquote leader. And even though Troy is his own man and Troy's been, you know, in a lot of ways a better leader than Jeff is, he still looks up to Jeff as an example, as someone he, you know, looks to for advice. And so I love that Jeff is the one to give this speech. And we didn't really talk about most of the other characters in this episode, but we're going to talk about Jeff for a little bit, because I'm going to recite the speech because I do think it is so beautiful. So here we go. This is also, I think we can unpack how Jeff has grown in this episode. Before I do that, I do have to say one of my minor superpowers is knowing when an actor is sick in an episode, and poor Joel is very sick in this episode. So he all props to Joel for making it through this episode, because his voice almost gives out a couple times. So here's the speech though. I wish I had the courage to commit to a bit like you, Abed, or to a relationship like Troy. Committing is hard because we're all scared of what happens when we find out we committed to the wrong thing. But there's no shame in what Troy's done. He put himself out there and he really tried. And that proves he cares. That said, and as hard as it may seem, right now, Troy needs to show he cares. He needs to put himself out there and own how he feels. That proves he's a man. What a great speech.
I loved it. Y'all. Love it. This morning I was trying not to tear up because I didn't want to be like super nerdy in front of my family when we were rewatching the episode. But I was like watching it and I was like starting to tear up at that speech, because I was like, it's such a beautiful speech. And I just love it, because that is something that a lot of people are afraid of, is like, you don't want to like give up on something because like you feel like you wasted time in a relationship, but you know, you still get something from that relationship. And there's, you know, there are times when you're scared that you committed to the wrong thing. And I don't know. I just think it's beautiful and just perfectly written.
It's very full circle, isn't it? Going back to the beginning where, you know, in the pilot, I know Brianne said she doesn't like the pilot, but like it's about his fear of committing to a group of people, really. Yeah. And then going now, coming, like I say, it sort of comes full circle, and then you get to this point where he says this and he's believing what he says. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of it feels like he's not come to this realization at that moment, but has gradually over time reached there and is now able to share that, which is really cool.
Jeff has grown so much by season four. I really appreciate, I mean, people knock on season four for so many things, and you know what, it's certain, some things are bad, some things are good, but what I really do love is that we get a lot more emotional growth for Jeff that we see in season four and hear in season four. We get that beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving speech that he gives. We get this, we get the, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the season finale, but like, I love Jeff's speech to the group in graduation. And I think we see, like you're saying, Josh, I think like by this point, Jeff already knows this stuff. I think that it's so interesting because like here he can actually help someone with it, like with the real intention of helping them. Like he's not trying to manipulate Troy. He's like, I went from a place of like not being able to commit to people, to accepting that I love people, to committing to them, to now being able to pass on that knowledge to someone. And a lot of times with Troy and like Jeff's dynamic, like especially if you think of like Remedial Chaos Theory, where he's kind of being like patronizing and like talking down to Troy, like this is such a growth for him, because it's like he's talking to Troy as an equal and like as someone who he's like genuinely sees as a friend, which is even more growth because he spends most of the episode being so annoyed with them and their body swap. Understandably, it's Jeff. Like it would not be in character if he wasn't, but
I love the line where he's talking like, no, we are doing doable and achievable, or something like that. Passable. Which is 100% like, I'm kind of an Annie when it comes to schoolwork and doing work, but like some days where I'm just like, no, I'm just going to do it, get it done and passed, and let's move on with life.
Yeah. Doable and passable. Oh, poor Jeff. He knew that this wasn't going to be an easy adventure. Did he not? But yeah, no, I love, And I think Joel doesn't get enough credit for this show. He never did.
I had no idea he was sick.
If you listen to specifically in this scene specifically, and then you kind of, at the very beginning of the episode, they must have shot that one, like the beginning and the end on different days. But if you listen in the janitor, like when they go and look for the custodial staff, his voice literally like cracks. Like he has no voice by the end of this. But that said, it's such an impactful speech, even if he's delivering it while he cannot really speak. So kudos to wonderful Joel McHale.
Well, and I love seeing his frustration build throughout the episode. Like first he's relaxed and just giving his snarky remarks. But like, as he's going on and he's like walking down that hall with Troy and he's like, yes, let's do this. Cause that's what we're doing today. We're wasting more of my time.
Like,
and
so he's frustrated. Like... But it's so interesting because he's frustrated up until the point that he understands, right? Like once they get into the lost and found, he actually understands what's going on. And then you see him be really compassionate. And I think that that's just such a growth for Jeff, like as a person. Like, of course, he's going to be upset that Troy and Abed are doing this body swap thing because, you know, that's who he is. And he's very annoyed and irritated that he cannot do a doable and passable banner. The assignment was to literally pick any moment in history. I don't care, or not. Do what you want to do. And he's annoyed he has to run on this adventure all day. And then he gets to the scene and he understands. And actually we see like that empathy, which I think is really something rare that we see between them. And Donald and Joel are really great in scenes together. And this one in particular is just one of those ones where I think of where I'm like, this is a good scene. Like it's a really emotionally like powerful scene. And it's so simple and it's not overdone. And then we also see, in addition to further growth for Jeff, then we see him helping commit to the bit after this. So I'm like, that's Jeff's full circle.
Yes. Yeah, when he's doing like the light switch in the restaurant. He's like, I'm going to help him out and finish up this bit.
Yeah, because like he understands now that it's not a bit, like that there's something behind it. So I think that that is really cool. Yeah. I really do love this speech though, guys.
I mean, say what you will about season four, they did do a really good job. And that is one thing that when they get to the first episode of season five and Jeff goes right back to how he started, it's almost, I mean, I love the first episode, but I just, I feel sad that he lost all of that. And now he's back to manipulating them. Like that is one thing I do like about season four.
Yeah, you get all this nice growth.
Good growth. Yeah.
That's what I love. Anyone have anything else to say about this Troy and Britta and Abed and Jeff kind of story before we briefly touch on the levity that happens in our other storyline?
I mean, I think we pretty much covered it all, really.
We did it, guys. I really do like this story. I do like that we... The final thing is, I do like that we get the little hug, the breakup hug, paralleling our journey, I suppose.
It just lets you know, because, you know, and I do like that they have the little talk in the hallway where, you know, Jeff Troy and Abed are talking to each other and he's like, thanks for helping me out today. And Abed's like, yeah, it was the best way I've ever woken up. Best way I've ever woken up. And then you see the little relationship between Annie and Britta where, you know, she's kind of letting her in on what's going on, and then they'll talk about it later. So you get those little pieces that they have lives outside of what we see. And I really like that kind of end touch. And then, like I said, having them hug at the end so that you don't I feel like it's a nice bow tie on the episode so that you don't go into the next episode worried about like if they're going to be awkward or like you don't get any of that you get in a lot of the other shows when you know people break up, they just kind of brush by, which I guess in some ways kind of like would you really brush by, you broke up with this guy after a year? But I like the community does it and they can just kind of move on because they didn't really build a relationship.
It's
anyway,
true. You pretty much summed it up. No sense dwelling on it. We barely spent any time here. It's not like I tell people this all the time. I love New Girl. And New Girl's breakup episode, like, is one of the best things. And then they have a whole episode after that that's like, let's talk about how awkward this is. But that was like, they spent real time cultivating seasons worth of relationships, and with Community, they were just kind of like, no, it's just, they're fine. They did
this relationship exactly how Community does every relationship.
Not wrong.
They touch on a little bit and move on.
As we said before, if you're a fan of relationships, Community is not the show for you. Romance.
No, you get
least.
Like your little tiny crumbs.
Everyone,
like, you know, I like Abed and Annie together. I love their little relationship. I think they really work well off each other. And so you get like these tiny little, like in the paintball episode where they are really playing together and stuff. You get little crumbs, but you never get anything like of any substance.
That is it in a nutshell, Brian. Thank you so much for summing it up so eloquently. Okay, so I know we already talked about it a little bit. I just want to touch on the fact that, like, I've talked about this. I love that season four gives us some Shirley and Annie content, which I've wanted my whole existence. Like, why don't we have so many more stories of them? I don't know. I loved it.
Trying to think, like, of other storylines with just Shirley and Annie. I mean, there's the cop mm-hmm. episode.
That's pretty much
where they're pretending to be cops. And that, they're so awesome. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of episodes where you get the two of them. And they're so fun together. Like, I love that yeah. cop episode. And in this one, I mean, you get a little bit and it's good. I wish mm-hmm. there was a little more because I love their dynamic together. But I did love the little bit that, again, the crumbs. I love the little bit that we get. And I love, you know, Shirley's attitude with the, like the quote you said at the beginning, you better learn we are and us, or my quotes are awful today. But I just love that, you know, Shirley's not going to take any of it from mm-hmm. Annie. Like, you know, yeah, she's a single mom. And I was a single mom when I was in college, and I'm usually the Brit of the episode. But in this one, I'm like, no, you go, Shirley, like, quit being mm-hmm. underestimated. The group always underestimates her, and it's so frustrating. And I love that we're getting more yeah. Shirley this season, because I feel like she's such a good character, and they always just put her as the mom or as the Christian. And I love that you get to see that, you know, when we get the sandwiches, when we get the things that she wants to do and her goals. And I like that she's, you know, not going to take anything from Annie. And yeah, Annie, you've been an overachiever all your life. Like, give Shirley her due, man. Like, it's okay. You're at Greendale. Like, what is a valedictorian at Greendale? Like, is that really something you want to put on your resume? Like, you're the best at the second best community college in the town.
So true.
I didn't really have much more to add. I mean, it's just very fun. I didn't really know what else to say than, you know, having them just bounce off each other and just, yeah, just go off in their little thing. And I just like the dialogue. It almost feels like improv. It's sort of like it flies so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's natural as well. It's not yeah. like it's yeah, it I don't know. It's all great. There's not really much more to add.
Yeah. I love their dynamic. I love when Shirley in season four, one of the things I love about season four is we get to see more of her as a person. We learn that she's on the valedictorian track. We're like, all right, sweet. Tell us more about that show. And they do. And we get a chance to see her and Annie in these like senior prank and like trying to figure out how to take down Leonard and like having all these little moments. And I think that Shirley does feel more like a character that's integrated into the study group in season four than she does in mostly every other season. And so that is something that I have to say, like, props to the show for season four for giving Shirley more stuff to do and seeing like she's a valuable member of the study group. Maybe we give her more stuff. So I really like this, but.
Well, and I like that she's kind of living her yeah. college life. Like, she's doing the senior prank and, you know, like as a mom, you know, you get so wrapped up in your kids and then they get older. I mean, Shirley's kids don't age, but.
As a vet has talked about before.
If they were to age like a normal show, you know, you get to a point like my kids are high school or, you know, high school and one just graduated. You get to a point where like, oh, I have to like figure out what I'm doing with my life now. And I mean, I know that Shirley's not aging, but I kind of feel like you're mm-hmm. seeing a little bit of that. Like, she's starting to kind of figure yeah. out who she yeah. is as a person, not just yeah. as a mom or as a wife. So you're seeing her do these fun things like the pranks and being proud, you know, doing the sandwich shop, being proud yeah. of valedictorian. And you get to see her just yeah. be Shirley and not
yeah.
just mom.
Yeah, we get to see We get to see Shirley be Shirley, and I love that. We didn't talk about him, but he surprises everyone at the end of this episode by doing the assignment, and in a very nice meta, Bo says, it only took about 25 minutes.
But come on, 25 minutes.
Even I Pierce mean, can't do that in 25 minutes.
I've done my
minutes.
Share of arts and crafts in classrooms. I can tell you that my students would probably do better art projects than Pierce. And there is no way that you could do that beautiful of work in 25 minutes.
But it was there for the meta commentary. It's That's Pierce. Their only reason that yes. line was there, was to be like, hey, remember our show's 25 minutes? See you guys, how funny. I did like that Annie held court and was like, there are a difference. And if you watch, it's really funny because I don't know if this was just like Joel or Jeff, like when she talks about there's a difference between paint and puffy paint, he's like nodding along like he understands that there is a difference. So yeah, I love that Pierce is basically sidelined in this episode because it's great for season four.
I think one of the other podcasts is doing like a Pierce watch. They're in about halfway through season three right now. And so like they see as Chevy is like slowly out of the storyline. So you like start to see him at the beginnings and at the ends, maybe he has a little end tag or something, but just slowly you see him just slowly going out. I think in the next episode the hero one. I think in that one, he's actually not in it at all. Like it might even be his body double at the ice cream machine.
The intro felt surrogacy. He definitely is only in for his voice. He's not in physically. But yeah, heroic origins, he's not in at all. Because I think that was.
I think it's his body double at the ice cream machine.
But like even like if they wrote this episode and then decided, oh, we need him in here, it's quite hard to see which storyline he'd been anyway. Like, why would he care about the Victorian bit? Why would he care about Britta and Troy? It's like
it doesn't
even
make
sense. Anywhere?
Yeah, where would he fit? No, we're going to keep him. And I love that line, stay alive or don't. He's like, just sits on the table. And that's basically how all of Pierce's stories can be summed up at season four. Really before that.
I was watching that this morning with my mom, and my mom, you know, she knows Chevy Chase from, you know, his old movies in the 80s, and she loves him. And I almost felt like I had to like almost pause the episode and be like, okay, hold on. Let me tell you, mom, Pierce is a racist and he is a terrible character. And yes, that sounded really harsh, but there's a reason. And if you watch more, because it sounded harsh, but like,
you also have to be like,
I mean, if you've watched all the episodes,
you also
it's
have to be like,
Pierce,
it's
like,
basically, he's not playing a character. He's basically being himself, mom.
Exactly. Like, mom, sorry to burst your Chevy Chase bubble.
I have some news for you.
That was kind of justified.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he really wouldn't have fit in any of the other stories as well. So it's just, it makes sense for him to stay alive or don't in the background of this one. So
exactly.
So before we wrap up, I've been adding some fun questions to the end of our discussions and just theming them around our episodes. So for this one, if you could swap lives with one of the study group characters for 24 hours, who would you choose and why?
Okay. I really had to think about this one because I had to think about not just who would I be, but who would I have to interact with if I chose that character. So I think that I would want to be Troy, because I think I would have a lot of fun hanging out with Abed for the day and like having whatever adventure Abed wants to go in on, I'm in. So let's go in the dormitorium and let's have fun. So I think Troy would be who I'd want to switch with. Just because then that's who I'd want to hang out with is Abed. So it's not so much that I want to be Troy. Yeah. It's more that who do I want to hang out with?
Like Brianne, it was quite hard to think about this. I ended up picking Jeff, and it was more because personalities wise, at least I would think so, we're quite opposite personalities. And so there's a bit of, I would say there's like a bit of every other character, maybe not Pierce, but every other character in the study group that I can sort of find a little bit of me in. So I just thought it'd be fun to go way out of the comfort zone and pick someone who's really opposite. And
that'd
then
be really
and
fun.
Just play around for a bit, because it only, you know, lasts for what, a couple 24 hours, and then
24 hours back. And then you're good and then you're back to being you, and you'd be like, okay, now
and
now
any chaos you've caused, it
it's
Jeff's
no longer your
it.
Problem. Yeah, exactly.
Jeff's done it, not me. So
oh yeah, that's a good answer. I I'm kind of inclined to go with you, Brian, and be like, I'd want to swap with Troy just so that I could like have fun for a day. Because I feel like Troy has like a pretty fun, chill lifestyle. I mean, I love my friends with kids, but not Shirley, because like I'm not about to have three children. Annie, I feel like is too similar to my personality. So would I really be swapping lives if it's basically just who I am? That wouldn't be fun for me, because then I'd just be like, why wouldn't I just live my own life? Obviously not Pierce. I guess Britta would be intriguing. Like I might say Britta. I would like to swap lives because I just am curious as to what Britta's life is like for 24 hours. Because like we see a lot of other people, like their homes, Troy and Abed's apartment. I don't know much about Britta. I'm gonna say Britta. I just would want to know. I'd hang out with cats. I mean, I know she has cats, so I'd be intrigued.
But we could all switch with Chang.
Oh my gosh.
And we could just be total agents of chaos.
I feel
just,
the need,
you know, run around doing whatever.
I feel the need to remind everyone that this is a season. I can't even speak. Chels, cut this.
Chang.
Yeah, I feel the need to remind everyone that this is the season that has Chang Nisha, and most of my guests, I would say, have forgotten that Chang Nisha exists.
I totally forgot he was in this episode. And when I watched it this morning, I was like, oh, am I going to have to explain Changnesia to my family?
Wait, he's not
but
thank
goodness.
Oh, that's
Chang
right.
Isn't
like,
in the episode.
In episode.
At all. No,
like,
I don't want to have to explain Chang to anybody. Like he's just one character. You can't just explain in a short time. It's like, you can explain the rest pretty quick. Like Pierce is older and racist. And, you know, Troy was a football star and not, isn't, you know, but like Chang, you're like, well,
how do we say that?
He was a Spanish teacher,
a student,
and then he became a student, and then he was a dictator, and then he got Chang
Nisha. It's not real, because he's faking it.
Then he became a movie star, and
it's a lot.
It's just
that's a lot to explain. Oh, goodness.
But it would be fun to cause some chaos as Chang. I mean, you could.
I don't know that I would
want to
be inside Chang's mind, though. That would be where I'd be like, oh no, 24 hours. That would be a lot, a lot of stuff. So, well, thank you both so much. I've had so much fun getting to chat with you all today. This is such a great episode. Very well written, very well acted. Highly recommend. So, before we wrap up with our, the rest of our questions. As always, our customary second to last question is, what is a piece of media, either a book, a TV show, film, podcast, etc., from either a Black or Indigenous or person of color creator and or featuring Black men and women, Indigenous people or people of color that you would like to encourage our listeners to consume this week?
I'll go first. I had to really think about this. I've been enjoying a lot of stuff. I've been reading some books. There's a YA book called All American Boys. That's really good. I cannot remember the name of the author, but it's taken from the perspective of two different, of a white boy and a Black boy. And then it has to do with police and a kid getting accused of a crime he didn't do. And it's really interesting because it's written by two different authors, a Black author and a white author. And so they each write their person's perspective. And that's really good. But what I really would like to recommend, and this is it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but on Amazon, Guava Island, it has Rihanna and it has Donald Glover, and it's like musical and they're on a beach and it's got a decent storyline, but you know, it's Donald singing, dancing and acting. And it has Rihanna. I mean, in my mind, you can't go wrong. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I'm super into Childish Gambino and pretty much anything Donald Glover does, I'll watch. But Guava Island is
nice.
Quite good.
Well, I will recommend a new show for you on ABC. It has a very familiar title. It's called The Wonder Years. As you know, I love Psych and I love Dulé Hill. So I was so excited to see that Dulé Hill was going to be in a show. And so obviously you're like, wait a second, wasn't The Wonder Years already a show? Yes, it was. But this show is about a Black family set in the late 1960s. And it's a nostalgic look back. And obviously there is a narrator for the series and that is Don Cheadle. So, you know, it's just debuted. So as of this recording, only two episodes are out, it's a really good show. It's really fun and sweet already, and also like has this nice dramatic twist too. And as I said, Dulé Hill. I love Dulé Hill. Okay. And I discovered it's on ABC. What is it on? You can watch it on Hulu, which is how I've caught up because I do not have cable. Okay. So catch up on Hulu. And yeah. And so actually there's one of the little girls in the show. I was like, why does she look so familiar? She is, she was in a movie called Troop Zero, which is a great movie. And you all should also watch that. So, Josh.
Yeah. There is, I'm trying to think of something that fits the criteria. There is a movie I watched recently that I think has come out. I'm from, people can probably hear from my accent, I'm not from the States, I'm in the UK.
What?
No way. I've been faking it this whole time.
Faking this the whole time.
There's a movie that came out in the UK that I think came out in the US beforehand. So forgive me if people who are listening have seen it, but there's a movie starring Dev Patel who is incredible, The Green Knight.
I've heard it's so good.
he is fantastic. It's great seeing him play a role that, you know, I'm sure 10 years ago someone had gone, that's meant to be a Caucasian male lead role. But he gets to play this knight, King Arthur's cousin, I think. It's based on a real poem, the story. And yeah, it's just, he's so cool and really good in it. And the movie itself is really pretty to look at. And yeah, otherwise I watched a Korean drama show called Vincenzo on Netflix, and that's also very good. I know Squid Game's going, is taking all the rage at the moment.
I haven't even tried to understand what is happening. And that's how my interaction with social media has gone. I'm like, I'm too scared to ask people, what is this? Which I know I can Google it.
But. My youngest started watching it and was like halfway through, and I decided I was going to start watching it with her. And now she can't watch it because she has to wait for me to be available.
That's fantastic.
So we both have it on our list, but she can't. She That's got hilarious. Halfway through like the first episode and can't finish it. So, but I really want to see it. It looks like maybe Black Mirror-y, like dystopian or something. I really have no idea. But everybody's saying it's good, so I guess maybe I should try it. I just
keep hearing everyone
talk about
it. I got
into Ted Lasso because everyone said it was good.
That's true,
so.
And we were right there, so.
So.
I've heard great things about Dev Patel in that movie, too, for sure. So it's on my list of things. Although Chels knows I famously don't see movies. It's not true. I just don't go to the movie theater a lot, and still in a pandemic, so even less than usual, but. I mean,
why, in my mind, why pay to go to a movie when you can just wait a month and it'll be on some streaming service somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, the popcorn's good.
The popcorn is good.
It's expensive.
The experience is nice, but yeah, I agree. So, well, again, thank you both so much for being here. This is so, so much fun. I'm going to, before we ask our last question, let people find and follow you if you would like. So, Brian, where can people find and follow you?
I'm not that interesting. I mostly just do retweets or community related stuff.
That was like the first thing you said. I'm not that interesting, but
I'm really not. Like, if I think I have maybe 30 followers at most, it's all just community and random things about going to get my kids. Because follow me at the Schmoopy if you want to. I don't know why you would
but
if you're really interested in random teacher thoughts and some political stuff and community, I guess you could follow me.
Josh.
You can follow me on Twitter, I guess, at JoshSim8. There's a lot, I'm studying sports journalism. So there's a lot of sports tweets, especially concerning sports on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
So apologize so much for the spam and all that on your timeline, but I don't think I tweet a lot of community, but I mean, people can obviously message me and talk about it. That's obviously very cool. And actually, whenever there's a chance of using a community GIF for something, I will use it somehow, some way.
I feel you.
Yeah, I think I've annoyed my coworkers because in Teams, like, someone will say, thanks for doing that. And I'll like put like a Troy and Abed clapping or like every gift that I'll always send them back, like community gifts. And I'm like, They're like, they're okay, like, she's a little bit obsessive.
She likes the show. We get it. We get it.
We get it. Yeah.
Well, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at COMM Rewatch Pod. You can follow us on Instagram at Community Rewatch. You should check out our pinned tweet, which is always our pinned tweet, and donate if you're able to the Loveland Therapy Fund for Black women and girls, because mental health access is really important. And not everyone has access to affordable mental health resources. And what's really cool about the Loveland Foundation is that they pair their Black clients with Black therapists. And that's really important. So check that out. Donate if you can. Retweet, whatever you want to do. We love that organization. And we're still talking about season four. So stay tuned for more season four thoughts and content up and through the winter. And then we're going back to Mythic Quest season two. So get ready for that. I'm very excited. And so is Chels. Well, finally, since this is a community rewatch podcast, what is one thing you're currently rewatching, or what's something that you enjoy rewatching?
I would say the probably other than Community, obviously, probably the other show that I end up rewatching random episodes is Always Sunny. Yeah. It's just, you know, that and Forensic Files are the two shows I can put on when I'm ready to go to sleep, but not quite ready to go to sleep. So like, it's a good show to like, sometimes Always Sunny, I have to turn off because sometimes I'll get too into the episodes where it starts keeping me up. But, I would say those two. I'm working my way through Ted Lasso. I'm on like season eight. Wait, and Ted Lasso? I heard from someone say that that's where it gets.
Or episode really eight.
Yeah, I haven't,
season eight.
Yeah. Did I say season eight? No. I'm way in the future. Where are you
season
at?
Season eight of Ted Lasso.
Yes. So I'm on season eight, working through the series on that. But Always Sunny, Mythic Quest. I want to do, that's my next thing I'm going to do a rewatch on, because it's so good. It's
so dang good.
Perfect.
So dang good.
So,
yeah. Well, I was rewatching, and now I'm watching for the first time the most recent season that was just put on Hulu, even though it happened earlier this year and last year, is Mom, which is a surprising show that I have enjoyed. I'm not usually like the biggest Chuck Lorre show fan, because I'm like, okay, what kind of jokes are we going to be telling here? But honestly, I've got to say, Mom is surprising, because you think that it's going to be silly and goofy, and it can be, and then it'll just hit you with something super emotional out of nowhere. Obviously, Allison Janney is a national treasure, so, you know, she's perfect. And it's really interesting because the most recent season does not have Anna Faris in it. So I've been rewatching, and now I'm watching the season eight for the first time. And so that is very interesting. So I enjoy it.
I need to finish that up. I love that.
Oh my gosh.
Allison Janney is amazing. And I love that show. I think I made it through three seasons, and then
Allison Janney is like,
just forgot about it.
She is like the star of the show at this point. Not that she never was the star of the show, but like, you know, it was focused.
She's the star of anything she's in.
You know how like it was like about Christy, about Anna Faris's character. And then it slowly has become less and less about that. And so this particular season, it is like, she is, Allison Janney is like the main focus. So she's so great. In everything she does, literally perfect. That's what I've been rewatching, and I've been enjoying it. So do you recommend? It's on Hulu now. Josh, what are you rewatching? What do you like rewatching?
At the moment, and I haven't seen the newest season, I've sort of had to re-jog my memory of previous episodes. I feel like it's safe to assume there's a strong overlap between Community and Rick and Morty fans.
Yes.
Rick and Morty, because there's so many jokes or references, like sort of, you know, the first time you watch it for the plot, and then the second time around you capture more of them, and there seems to be something every time you rewatch an episode where you pick something up that you never found in previous rewatches. So, I'm pretty safe to assume there's a strong overlap between Community and Rick and Morty fans. So not that surprising.
I love
surprising yes. to the people yeah. probably, but yeah, yeah, that one.
Agreed. Well, thank you so much both for being here. Thank you everyone for listening, and keep tuning in, because we're going to keep talking about season four. So we will see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Community Rewatch podcast. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts these days so you don't miss an episode. If you want to follow along with our content on social media, you can follow us at @commrewatchpod on Twitter or @communityrewatch on Instagram. Many, many thanks to Chelsea Eichels for putting together today's episode. We're so glad that you chose to go back to Greendale with us. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.